right, Tristan, make sure everybody gets that song, if you can, or John, because you need to dance about your money. You need to shout over your money. Thanks, guys, for bringing that up. That's a good song. Amen. We might play it again at the end. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. How's your thinking? I want you to emphasize, I want to emphasize one biblical word that's very profound and very much needed, which is called transformation. Everybody say transformation. So how's your thinking? Somebody say praise the Lord. So that's what I'm talking about today. Isaiah 26:3, it says that you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Philippians 2:5 says this, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:8, New Living Translations. Philippians 4:8 says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things. Now, this is a directive that are excellent and worthy of praise. Now, you got to be intentional about that today's in today's environment because there's so much breaking news that's bad news. Isn't that right? So I believe there's a sense of urgency for all of us to do some serious mind and mentality maintenance. As a dear sister said to me this morning, was right on cue, there has to be some Holy Spirit rewiring done. You're going to have to re-engineer some of your thinking. Amen. Why? Because where the mind goes, the man or woman follows. And to go to another level and go up to another level, you got to think on another level. Because the scripture profoundly tells us, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So we've said before, you got to take care of your heart because that's the center and core. But if you got bad thoughts and bad beliefs, you're going to have bad results. Amen. Again, I want to remind you of something I said several years ago, probably about 4 or 5 years ago, of what scientists and neurologists say. Number one, the main signals of your that your cells respond to are your thoughts. Our 75 to 1 trillion cells each contain the full DNA complement. Each cell has 1,000 receptors. Can you see that? Just visualize, each cell in your body has 1,000 receptors. That means it's ready to receive. But what is it receiving? Or doorways, they call these receptors doorways, on the outside designed to open at specific times to receive what they need. Thirdly, if things in our brains are not working correctly, the doors on the receptors will rip off and there will be cell chaos. Fourthly, when we think toxic thoughts, our genetic expression explodes in a negative way. If we have years and years of responding negatively to life's events and circumstances, the brain cells receptors are open to various diseases. We have put ourselves at that point in a vulnerable zone. See, we have to think about God's word day and night, and you will have success. So think about Jesus and see things from the perspective of God's word. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us, for God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Some people are afraid of stepping out, stepping up. But God didn't give you that. That really means a spirit that's cowers or cowardice, timidity. Some people have never stepped out to invite somebody to church, to share their faith, to ask someone by the leading of the Holy Spirit, may I pray with you? We were at a restaurant last night. And a lady, just Pat Cynthia and a lady, and I said, we're about to pray for our food. May we pray for you? She stuck around a long time giving us all her life events and challenges, didn't she not? And so she was so blessed because we took time to share and pray with her. Praise the Lord. God has not given us a spirit of fear. You know, it's a travesty that we don't think about anybody out there that's not saved, that's lost and going to hell, because we're so consumed with ourselves and our circumstances. And we got some cellular chaos going on. And the saints are sick. And the saints are broke. And the saints are tired and frustrated. How's your thinking? God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and what? A sound mind. Everybody say, I have the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and a sound mind. Now, that's the gift that you have to stir up. A part of the gift that you have to stir up. You can't walk in a room intimidated. You shouldn't go to the grocery store afraid. You shouldn't pull up to the gas pump in fear, anxiety, frustration. Come on now. This is practical stuff that we need to live by every day. See, a sound mind is a mind of love and power. A sound mind is focused and disciplined in its thought life. So in other words, you've got to think about what you've been thinking about. And our thoughts, one of the neuroscientists, Dr. Carolyn Leaf, says we average about 30,000 thoughts a day. And they fall in two categories, legitimate or destructive. And when you vacillate back and forth between legitimate and destructive, it's what the Greek word calls anxiety or worry. It means to have a mind divided. And when your mind's divided, then you get destroyed. Because Jesus said a house, a city, a kingdom divided against itself won't stand. So you won't stand in that financial challenge. You won't stand in that health crisis. You won't stand in that pressure situation on your job. You'll break down and you'll fall down. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Everybody say, praise the Lord. So if your mind is fear-driven and fear-controlled, it's not a sound mind. All the phobias that exist today, thousands, even peanut butter phobia, arachnophobia, afraid of spiders. If you don't unlearn those fears, they're going to paralyze you at some point. See, if you think wrong, you'll believe wrong. And then you will talk wrong and you'll act wrong. And then things will go wrong. If you think right, you'll believe right. And you'll talk right and act right. and you will set up things to go right. It all hinges on your thinking. So if you misuse your mind, your brain and your body will suffer. I'll say it again. If you misuse your mind, your brain and body will suffer. How do you misuse your mind, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. You misuse your mind when you're sitting there frustrated. When you're frustrated, the devil's working on you. He's deceiving you and deluding you and telling you thoughts, ideas, and suggestions that the promise of God or a prophecy from God is not going to come to pass in your life. So Philippians 4:19 is not going to work for you this time. My God shall supply all my... So you think scarcity thoughts. You think survival thoughts. I got to scrounge and save and scrape just to make ends meet because God's not going to be able to meet my needs this time. So we stop giving. We stop sowing sacrificially because we don't trust his plan. We don't trust his promise. You know, sometimes we think the word strongholds, Pastor Cynthia and I were talking about it earlier this past week. And there are negative strongholds that come from the devil. But they manifest as areas in your life where you don't trust God. Just think of it that way. So you think, I can't trust God to take care of me financially. So you're always trying to control and hand manage and hold back and keep back things that you should be sowing because what we say before, I'm just repeating it from Mark Hankins, but lack doesn't come by what you don't have. Most people don't think that way. Lack doesn't come because they think lack is coming because I don't have enough money. I don't have this. But lack comes from money you do have, you shouldn't have. I'll say that again. Lack doesn't come from money you don't have, but lack comes from money you do have, you shouldn't have. So they'll squeeze Abraham Lincoln, Andrew Jackson, Benjamin Franklin. They'll squeeze him until you can't even recognize his face anymore. Because a lack mentality is a scarcity mindset. And their perspective is, the money ain't going to come any other way, so I got to hold on to this. Y'all hear? And so if you misuse your mind, your brain and your body will suffer. Because if you're thinking destructive thoughts, guess what? That's temporary brain damage coming into your brain. And feelings are controlled by your thoughts and not your circumstances. You thinking broke, you feeling broke because you're thinking that way. That's why when the stock market crashed and went into the recession again in 28, people were trying to kill themselves, suicide. They had the wrong thought process. They thought, I lost $1 million. I'm hopeless. I know people that have lost millions of dollars, but they're millionaires today because they didn't think. Well, if I lose it, God can't get it back to me. So it's over. So I must end my life and make it over. Well, praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. It's through the conscious mind that you make changes in your thinking. Faith comes by hearing, and that's a process. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Joshua 1:8 says it this way. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all according to that what is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Meditation means to mutter or speak to yourself. Some of the greatest conversations you can have, and you should have, is with yourself. That means you ought to be speaking the word to yourself. You ought to be crying for tears of joy that God allowed Philippians 4:19 to be in the Bible. especially when you're facing a financial difficulty. Thank you, Lord, that my God, you supply all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Come on now. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you give me the power to get wealth and to establish your covenant upon the earth. Thank you that the blessing of the Lord makes me rich and adds no sorrow, painful toil, and sweat with it. Thank you, Father, that you make all grace abound toward me, every favor and earthly blessing to come to me in abundance. Praise God. Hallelujah. So you think the thoughts of God. You don't think lower thoughts. He said, meditate day and night. Meditation means to mutter. It's not transcendental meditation. I'm not talking about that. Some Eastern practice. To talk to it, it means to muse. It means to excogitate. It means to think out, to concoct, to devise. It means to hatch up, to dream up, or to think up. The Hebrew word, H-A-G-A-H, which translates means to ponder or to imagine, to study or speak to oneself. That word meditate means that. So it is the internalizing of the Word of God in your spirit and your mind to build the capacity for faith to form in you. Sometimes people don't take enough time to read and feed the Bible, much less meditate in the Word. Don't be apprehensive about the word meditation, because the Bible does not say God is going to universally give success to all his children. Only the ones who follow his ways. So it's up to you and me. Look how many times in Joshua 1:8 he says the word you or your. He said, number one, out of your mouth. This book shall not depart out of your mouth. Everybody say, that's me. So is it coming out of your mouth? How much is the word coming out of your mouth? It shall not depart out of your mouth. Now, like Dr. Reinhard Bonnke said it before he went home to be with the Lord, he said, the word of God is mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. If you need to be resuscitated to spirituality and out of carnality, you need to have mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. I know they do a lot of swimming. They have lifeguards out there. And that's what they're trained to do. They're trained to revive you when you're drowning. If you're drowning in your financial situation, or you're drowning in your health or your relational situation, you need to get mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. He said, this book of the law shall not depart where? Out of your mouth. And you shall meditate in it. Not somebody else can't do it for you. Therein. And you shall observe to do it. That you may observe to do it. That's the reason why you do it. So you can see it. And you can see how to do it. See how to work this promise. And by faith, bring it to pass in your life. You got to work the word. So that the word can work for you. Somebody said, praise the Lord. And they said, then you will make your way prosperous. Because some people just complain. They blame and they explain while they broke, busted, and disgusted. They might even post on social media that my money is funny. He said, then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. The more you focus, ladies and gentlemen, the less you fear. So how's your thinking? Y'all good? Proverbs 16:3 says this way. Proverbs 16:3. If you can look at that in the Amplified Classic. Roll your works on the Lord. Are you doing that? Commit and trust them wholly to him, and he will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will. I love this verse. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. See, Stephen Covey said this, accountability breeds responsibility. Are you accountable for your own thought life? Are you taking responsibility for the thoughts that are coming into your head? Bless me. Bless the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We, as born-again Christians and Christ followers, have a responsibility to manage and maintain a healthy, a humble, and a holy thought life. I'll say it again. A healthy, a humble, not prideful, humble and holy thought life. Because thoughts precede action. The reason you talk back and clap back and fight back to family members who are outside of God or not serving God is because your thoughts are not humble. You think you got to fight instead of make it right. The reason guys or ladies step out and either emotionally or physically cheat on their loved ones, I'm keeping it clean, because their thoughts started being unholy. You know, marriage is called holy matrimony. Hallelujah. That means you need to be thinking holy thoughts. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Look at this, Proverbs 23, verse 6 and 7. Eat bread with him. Eat not the bread of him who has a hard, grudging, and envious eye. Okay, that's instruction. Don't sit down with somebody that's bitter and somebody that's stingy and selfish. Because they're going to sit there and begrudge you because they have to pay for the meal. I call them not quick draw, but slow draw. They don't like to pull out their wallet. They're expecting you to pay. Amen. He said, to eat not bread with them who has a hard, grudging, and envious eye, neither desire his dainty food. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As one who reckons, he says to you, eat and drink, yet his heart is not with you, but is grudging the cost. If you ever go to eat with Mark Hankins, you'll be revolutionized and transformed. Because that brother is generous. And he's rebuked pastors sitting around him. We're going to leave a tip. He's praying for people. That's where I get it from. Praying for people. And particularly if he finds out they have a need, he'll give. He'll pay for the meal. He'll tip them the amount of the meal, even if it's $200, $300. And then he'll take out his wallet and start giving them $100. And then he'll look around the table. Who else is going to do? So you got to carry $100 bills when you're hanging out with Pastor Mark. But he's a good role model because he's breaking poverty mentality off of people. Yes, this is the looks I got. But praise God. And so he's a 200% tipper. And he'll challenge people. He challenged a pastor friend of mine. He's in Florida. And he told me, Pastor Mark came to our church and got in the car. And he was bumping around. And it was an old truck. He said, when are you going to get a new truck? Now, he's saying it in love, of course, but he's trying to expand the pastor's thinking. So you drive around this old thing. I got to call my staff to come bring my truck in here because I'm bumping all over the place. He said, let's go to the car dealership. Guy didn't have any money. He said, which truck do you want? And they put their faith on the line. The guy got the truck, and he got the premium luxury add-ons and addition to that truck. And now he said, this is it. You got to break that mold. You got to get rewired. You got to get transformed. The reason sometimes people don't witness or take someone out because they're afraid to pay for the food. If you're going to invite somebody to lunch, pay for the food. Don't say, well, we're going to split it here. We're going to split it. We need to get back to people saying, okay, let me take you to lunch, Pastor. And it'd be okay. And you won't be holding your breath. Pastor, don't order another drink, you know, because I like lemonade or strawberry lemonade. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, some of the guys that's been out to lunch with me recently, they know. Pastor don't mind paying and tipping. Why? Because I've learned that. Because you want to break out of that. Y'all here, y'all going home already. Look at the Passion Translation. Say, be sensible when you come to dine with a stingy man. And don't eat more than you should. For as he thinks within himself, so is he. He will grudgingly say, go ahead and eat all you want. But in his heart, he resents the fact that he has to pay for your meal. That needs to get broken off. My pastor buddy and friend in California before he came to Texas, he really helped me. He said, come on, go to the store with me. We go to the mall, or they have that really nice outside mall there in San Diego area, California. And then he'd walk into the suit, and he would go buy expensive ties and expensive shirts. And what he's doing, he's chipping away this noodle. And he's showing me, don't be cheap. And now, he didn't just buy one tie. He bought two. And I said, Pastor, why are you buying two ties? He said, I buy one for me, but I never want my pastor to have less than what I have. So he bought one for his pastor. His pastor was Mark Hankins. Amen. Mark Hankins said at the time he was going to get a Rolex watch. You know, sometimes we preachers like good watches. Amen. And so the Lord told him. He said, you're going to get a watch before your daddy gets a watch? Now, they had helped Brother Hagin at that time have some pastors and ministers got together and got him a 30,000 Rolex, and they put a 10,000 diamond bezel on it. And somebody said, well, you don't need all that. They believe and they're breaking barriers. So he's going to get his Rolex. He's been saving up for Rolex. He said, do you think you should have a watch before your daddy has one? So he took his dad. Never had a watch. A good watch. Only thing he wore all his life, 50 years of pastoring, was a Timex. So he took him out to get him his first Rolex. He said, Dad, pick whatever one you want. It cost him $20,000. It took him a year to pay it off. But he paid for his watch. And he says, Dad, praise God differently. Praise God. He made sure. He said, I noticed my daddy praised God differently when he's looking at it. Somebody said, glory to God. Write this down. You need to write this down. I call it the four different types of thinking. This is where you locate how you are thinking or how is your thinking. This is how you can kind of self-examine how is your thinking. Some people have victim thinking. Number one, some people have victim thinking. Everybody say victim thinking. Why? Because they have victim speaking. Because they're always speaking like they're the object of a negative circumstances or oppression. When you see them coming, you know they got bad news. Down talk. And they're always going through a crisis. And it's always about them being the victim. I'm hurting, I'm broke, this happened, this crisis in my family. Some people have, number two, venomous thinking. Now, y'all know I'm a literal. I like being a literal a little bit. So they're all going to start with V. So you can put a V in front of each number. So they're venomous thinking. Why? Because they have venomous speaking. Remember we said the principle is if you think wrong, you're going to believe wrong, and then you're going to talk wrong. Then things are going to go wrong. Jesus said it this way in Matthew, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. So M equals H plus A for you math students. Mouth equals heart plus abundance. That means what's coming out of your mouth is what's in your heart in abundance. And what's triggering your heart is what's in your mind and your thought life. If you have wrong thinking, you're going to have wrong believing. And then you got wrong talking. My feet are killing me. I'm dying to go there. They just killed it. I'm so sick and tired of being sick and tired. They get on my last nerve. Venomous talking from venomous thinking. Because they speak against the word of God. They are contrary to the will of God. They talk contrary to the will of God. They speak contradictory to the works of God in their life and in their church. They won't say, like, you know, we always say, you know, whenever you go through a meal or sit down at a meal, you say, thank God that all the money will come. That's your agreement. That's your corporate agreement for Triumph Orange Christendom. We believe for $20,000 a month or more. Somebody's like, oh, I can't say that. So they talk contrary to that because they have venomous thinking. We don't need that much money. Or every week because you eat probably twice a week, twice a day, even if you eat once a day. Thank you, Father God, that all of my needs are met. Thank you for taking sickness away from missing me. Thank you for blessing our bread and water. Thank you, Father God, that by the stripes of Jesus we're healed. And I thank you, Father God, for 5,000 or more each week in coming into the offices of the Lord at Triumph Ford Christian Center. Some people can't say it. They talk contradictory. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. I'm behind. My money's all messed up. So they talk constantly about their doubts, their fears, and unbelief. And as Brother Hagin once said, he said, I'd rather you be a dope pusher than a doubt pusher. And there's too many, sometimes, doubt pushers in the church. They're venomous. Doubt robs you of God's best blessings. Amen. And then some people, number three, have vindictive thinking. They have vindictive thinking. Why? Because they have a vindictive speaking and speech. Because they always threatening, they're always threatening to take something out on someone or take something away from someone. How many have been around people that always got a threat? Threat talk. And sometimes it's a threat environment. And you got to defuse the threat environment every time you go around that person. Why? Because they are vindictive thinking. I'm going to punish you. I'm going to leave. Talk to the hand. I'm done. Thank you. I got some help back there. Praise God. Who was that? Sophia? Or little Tanita. Okay. All right. Good. Man, I had to bring him up here to help me preach. Praise God. Some people have vision or victory thinking. Why? Because they have vision and victory. Speaking. They are speaking the word. They're calling those things which be not as though they were. They're targeting their faith and focus and using their faith like a seed and as a servant. And just like our brother was asking for testimonies this morning, they're always testifying of what the Lord's doing. Some people like to testify of what the devil's doing and what the devil has done and what the disease is doing in their body and what the debt behind or debt obligation is crushing their finances. We need to talk about what the Lord's doing. Amen. And so to have a vision. So three profound spiritual principles we need to get. Number one, everything gets done or becomes undone by speaking. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, every idle word that men speak, they'll have to give account for in judgment. In other words, he said, by your words, you'll be justified. By your words, you'll be condemned. So we surmise that by saying this, there is no such thing as inconsequential words. There's no such thing as if you talk, the way you talked around your house is going to determine the condition and the quality of your house. The way you talk about your finances is going to determine the condition and quality of your finances. And we often say, if you don't say anything, what do? You lose by default. Everything gets done, and everything comes undone by speaking. You're supposed to talk to the mountain, Mark 11, 23. You have what you say. That's the second principle. You don't have what other people say. You have what you say. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. So most people say what they have instead of have what they say. So when they call their friend up or their family member up, they give them a fact report instead of a faith report because they think things are going to change by saying what they have or saying what's going on or saying what they see and feel. Because they think that Jesus meant that. He meant for us to have what we say. Hallelujah. And so to go to another level, you have to speak on another level. You can't talk down here and expect to go up here. Well, this is good stuff preaching. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And like we said, number three, there's no such thing as, there are no inconsequential words. Everything you speak. You can be in the bathroom by yourself. Your words have creative power, creative ability. Life and death are in the power of your tongue. But if you think wrong, guess what you're going to do? Believe wrong, and then what? Talk wrong. Talk wrong. Act wrong and then go wrong. So you've got to be persuaded by this principle. Either the word, in other words, my life is going to be increased by the fruit of my lips. Somebody said, well, Pastor, I want you to pray it gets better. I want you to pray that. Much more than you need to pray that it gets better, you need to say that it's going to be better. Everything gets done by speaking. So the increase is going to come by the fruit of your own lips. It's going to be 1 inch below your nose. What's the problem? What's the problem, Pastor? Look 1 inch below your nose. What happened, Pastor? Look 1 inch below your nose. Why is my marriage lousy and flat and falling apart? Look 1 inch below your nose. Why is my money funny and my finances always seem to be an upheaval? Look 1 inch below your nose. There is a heart, mind, mouth connection with our faith and our focus. What is coming out of my mouth is eventually going to find its way into my life, my health, my pocket, and my relationships. Nobody loves me. I don't have any friends. The Bible says he that wants friends must first show himself to be friendly. Some people don't speak friendliness, faith, filled words. They don't say what Jesus was said about Jesus, that Jesus grew in wisdom, waxed strong in spirit, and had favor with God and man. So they're isolated, they're independent, they always think everybody's out to get them. They don't trust anybody. They're kind of loners, recluses. When God created us to be relational, because he is relational. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He didn't even create anything in this world that we see by himself. Teams win. Teamwork makes the dream work. But most people like to do stuff by themselves, and then they're not good faith friends. Everybody say, preach it, Pastor. You doing good. Y'all must be thinking real good. Y'all quiet. What is coming out of your mouth is eventually going to find its way into your life, your health, your pocket, and your relationship. I don't feel like going to church. Guess what you're going to do? The devil's going to accommodate you because you gave him permission to make you feel bad every time Sunday and Wednesday comes along. Or Thursday morning comes along, you're going to feel bad, and you say, oh, I don't want to go. Because you're thinking, I don't feel like going to church. And you're saying, I don't feel like going to church. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Colossians 3:1-3, I'm getting ready to close. If then you have been raised with Christ into new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich, eternal treasuries that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your minds. Now, underline or underscore that word. Set your minds. Is your mind set? And it said, keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on things that are on the earth. For as far as this world is concerned, you have died, and your new life, your new real life, is hidden with Christ in God. Ephesians 4:25, same version, Amplified Classic, it says, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. New Living says it this way, of that same verse, instead let the spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. When's the last time you had a renovation and a remodeling? And an upgrade of your mind. Now, if you think that your mind's going to stay renewed as long as your hair stays combed, you're sadly mistaken. You need to be constant in renewing your mind. Spiritually, mentally, spiritual and mentally fresh in your attitude. Everybody do that. Smell yourself. Do you stink? Do you have stinking thinking? If you have stinking thinking, you'll live stinking lives. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Beloved friends, this is out of Passion Translation. What should our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? To surrender yourself to God, to be his sacred living sacrifices, and to live in holiness, experiencing all the delights of his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. That's what we need to stop doing. But be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through the total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. One thing we're supposed to give God is a transfigured body, but also a transformed mind. So how is our mind supposed to be transformed? I'm going to give you 10 things real quick as I close. Number one, our thinking must be transformed about sacrifice. Sacrifice is not a dirty word. We have Memorial Days, Veterans Days, different things that honor what people sacrifice. You've got to honor the sacrifice of the blood, the cross, the resurrection. Praise God, of Jesus. Praise God. You got to walk and live as a living sacrifice. That means you got to think, I got to sacrifice what I want for what he wants. Amen. I got to sacrifice maybe my lunch money so I can fast and pray for what he wants. Amen. You got to sacrifice your offering and delay your gratification on that new watch, that new phone, that new thing. Sacrifice is not a good word. You got to renew our, transform our thinking. Our thinking must be transformed about the Spirit of God. We've been talking about the Spirit of God. We need to have a relationship with him. Guys, Jesus said he's going to abide with you and in you forever. So you got a forever roommate. You got to get along with him. Most people aren't transformed. They don't have any cognizance or mental awareness that the Holy Spirit is in you. So they talk ugly. They talk crazy. They talk doubt. They talk fear. And they just constantly grieve and vex the Holy Spirit. Third, our thinking must be transformed about Satan. Because he is a defeated foe, he is spiritually dead. So you got to keep him in the spirit realm, the faith realm. Faith is a spiritual force, so you can defeat him 1,000 times out of 1,000. But if he keeps you in the feeling realm or the reason realm, because the battle's in the mind, he's going to whip you 1,000 times out of 1,000. You got to have a concept about Satan that I'm dealing with him not for a place of victory, but from my position of victory in Christ. That means he's defeated. He's under my feet. Come on now. Somebody say, praise the Lord. He's spiritually dead. So if I take him in the realm where he's dead, nothing, his stuff works. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Fourth, our thinking must be transformed about the supernatural. Most people are looking for the spectacular, but they miss the supernatural. See, spectacular, the media sometimes conditions us or socially engineers us to always look for the breaking news, the top news topic, what's going on now. See, people forgotten about monkeypox because of what happened over the weekend. Because they condition you how to think. They tell you what you need to think. Television, one definition of it is tell you how to vision. And some of us need to get our face out of the book from being in the book so much. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Praise God. You need to be transformed about the supernatural. Fifth, our thinking must be transformed about the scriptures. We got to walk around and say, what does the word say? Somebody asks you, what do you think about that? Your first response should be, what does the word say? Everybody say it with me. What does the word say? I'll check my brains. What does the word say? Our thinking needs to be transformed about our success. Not aligning with our struggles. Amen. But our success and our significance. Praise God. Seventh, our thinking must be transformed about suffering. Those that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But some people say, I don't want nobody mad at me. I want everybody to get along, and I want to keep peace. In some cases, Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. You can't be afraid to talk back to your kids when they tell you you don't need to be coming to church. Amen. And people that will talk you out of God and talk you out of the will of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You need to suffer a little bit. Amen. Eighth, our thinking must be transformed about service. Now, I'm going to just stay here just a little bit. I'm almost done. Because God did not save you to what? Sit. but he saved you to serve. And serving, Jesus said, is the pathway to greatness in the kingdom. Serving is the pathway. So when people say, well, I can't do this, I don't want to do this, I don't have time for this, and so they want God on their schedule, instead of saying, God, I'm giving you my clock and my schedule. And you say, Lord, anytime, anywhere, any day, use me as you choose. Amen. Sometimes say, well, God, I can only work, I can only do something for you between these 2 hours. Other than that, I'm busy. That's not serving. You got to say, God, anytime, anywhere, and any day, use me as you choose. I'm your instrument. I'm your vessel of honor, ready and able and available for usage. We always say the best availability is availability. God can't use you if you're never available. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Number 9, our thinking must be transformed about our situation. Now, I have God's working on my long-suffering and patience and forbearance, but some people just magnify their situation way too much. That's all they talk about, what I'm going through. Now, it's okay to a point, but after that, you got to say what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says. There's no temptation that is taking you, but that which is common to man. That means you say it this way in 2022 language. Lord, I'm in this mess, but I would not be in this mess unless you figured I can handle it and you've engineered me to go through this. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And so you got to realize I find myself in this situation without God, catching God off guard. He knows I can handle this, and I'm engineered to go through this and come out victorious in this. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So I don't magnify my situation. I magnify my Savior. And then last, then you can stand to your feet if you can. Our thinking must be transformed about our sowing. Do your sowing where you're going. Don't sow like you're going nowhere. That is how you increase your income. But you need to transform your thinking, because somebody said, I couldn't give, or I wish I could give more. No, you got to think about giving more. Then you believe you can give more, and then you can believe, and then you'll act by giving more. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Stand to your feet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for the privilege to share this word to these, your precious people.